welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 4, Episode 18. I want to wish you a very happy new year. If you happen to be listening to this episode sometime after the new year or in the middle of the year, well, I hope you're having a wonderful year anyway. I hope you had fantastic Christmas holidays, and I hope you had a wonderful time with friends or family, whoever you celebrated with. It was my very first holiday being alone in Italy without Alessandro, and it was different. It wasn't bad, wasn't what I would choose if everything were normal in our lives, but when is anything ever normal? So it was good. It was interesting. I had, for Christmas, I just had a few of Alessandro's family members come by on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I did some cooking and we had a nice visit. His mother came over and spent some time with me just by herself as well. And we had just lovely time together. And it was great. Of course, I spent plenty of time on the phone with Alessandro. He was cooking things in the United States. I was cooking things here in Italy. We were kind of trying to share our holidays as much as possible. I'm 6 hours ahead of him. So when it's midnight here, it's 6 p.m. And when it's midnight there, it's like 6 a.m. here. And so we kind of have the middle of the day when we're both awake. But when it starts to be evening or morning, that's when we kind of, you know, usually are kind of, one of us is going to sleep and the other one is just waking up. So it's interesting to try to find that balance, but it hasn't been as challenging as I maybe expected it to be. I have just hit the 1 month mark that I've been in Italy alone without Alessandro. And while I'm not falling apart and I'm not, you know, losing my mind or crying myself to sleep every night, I certainly am at the point where I'm like, yeah, this is not something that I would want to sustain for a long time. Kind of the novelty of being alone and getting into a routine and all of that stuff, I've kind of gotten that under control. And so now it's just like, yeah, we try to talk, you know, a couple times a day on the phone and FaceTime, and we're in touch, but it's just, there's no replacing someone being with you. And I did have a period of a couple days where I was kind of missing my family in California and feeling kind of disconnected from them. And you know, it just feels more and more every year like that. And the only way to cure that is just to spend more time there. And so, you know, there's that pressure. And there are challenges. I'm always telling you that there are challenges, and there are challenges about moving to Italy. In fact, if you want to add more challenges to life, probably move to Italy, because you're gonna face probably all the same challenges you still face, because maybe you still have your people back where you came from, and maybe you're only living part of the year there and part of the year here. So life is filled with challenges no matter where you are. But anyway, I've got a really great story about an experience that I had here. And so I want to share that with you. And we've got a great segment with Vera, of course. It's so great that we were back together. I think Vera and I both missed doing the podcast, and I miss being with you and sharing podcasts with you. The podcast does create quite a bit of work every week for me. But when I don't have it, I miss it. That's life, isn't it? I've shared with you before about my friend Simonetta, and she lives in a little tiny village in southern Italy in Campania. She has a daughter named Lucrezia, and Lucrezia has been on the show before in A Surrounding Sound, and Simonetta is just this wonderful woman with so much joy and the best laugh you've ever heard in your life, and she's just inspiring and fun and just a great human being. And so the gentleman that she is engaged to, Ivano, and one of her friends, the three of them came to spend New Year's with me. And I'm not really set up yet. My guest room is kind of filled with boxes and it's not really set up. And so we were going to try to have them stay here, but then it just ended up being a better situation that they just stayed right nearby in a hotel. There's a lot of hotels here in town, so they ended up getting a hotel room for the night. We started planning the menu, as Italians do, and of course, since it was going to be New Year's Eve, they wanted to do a traditional fish-only meal. And so we started planning the menu, and I was like, okay, I'll take care of appetizers and wine and Prosecco and all that, and I'll take care of dessert. And, you know, they're like, okay, well, we'll bring all the fresh fish and everything. And so I was like, okay, it sounds great. And so I set up like a little bar outside on the balcony because, you know, the drinks, it's pretty cold outside. And so it's a great place to keep the drinks cold. I created some appetizers and got the house all ready, and it was great. They also brought their dog Stella with them. It's Lucrezia and Simonetta's dog, and so they brought the dog with them. And I love dogs. I really do love dogs, especially the kind that don't attack me. But anyway, so I just wasn't raised with dogs in the house and dogs on the furniture and dogs kind of out of control. I just think dogs should be well behaved. I think animals should be well behaved. I think people, children, I think people should be well behaved. And so the dog is not necessarily used to rules. The dog is not really used to not jumping on the furniture. The dog is not really accustomed to the word no. And so the dog was actually left with me overnight, and I had to teach the dog the word no. So the first night of the year was spent with me kind of waking up and trying to train the dog not to bark, not to escape from the kitchen where I had created a bed for her and gave her a food dish and water and everything and let her have access to the balcony so she could get fresh air. It was an interesting night with Stella, but my friends, Simonetta, Ivano and Barbara. By the way, I call Barbara Santa Barbara because that's one of my favorite cities in California. And so she loves it. She gets a kick out of it every time I see her. I'm like, Santa Barbara, come stai, Santa Barbara. So they all showed up. They brought a huge ice chest and they put stuff in the refrigerator. We put stuff outside where it would stay cold on the balcony. And then they went to their hotel to get checked in and they left Stella with me. And I thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, get everything kind of organized, and then I'm going to take Stella out to the park across the street and see if she needs to go to the bathroom. And I was making my way back to the apartment, and then I see outside of the apartment an old lady with her dog, who just happens to be my neighbor across the hallway. And she was standing there having this whole conversation with my three friends. Now, since I have moved into the building, I had up to that point zero interaction with any of the neighbors because I just kind of keep to myself, and it's mostly older people, and I've noticed that they're very curious about who I am. And so when I see them, of course, I say hello, but I haven't had conversations with them. And also, I'm still quite uncomfortable when it comes to having conversation with strangers. I'm building up my confidence talking to Alessandro's family and my own Italian friends, of course, talking to Vera. And so I'm not really comfortable talking to strangers about who I am, what I do, where I'm from, all those kind of things. And in the maybe 3 minutes that it took them to ring my doorbell, and I didn't answer because I was across the street with their dog, to the time when I cross the street and walk up to the building, the old woman who just happened to be coming into the building the same time as them was questioning them, well, who do you know in the building? Oh, you know the guy on the second floor. Oh, the new guy. And what is his story? Where is he from? And so this old woman was getting all this information from them. And just as I walked up, I was just like, oh my gosh, I could hear the conversation in mid-conversation. And she's like hammering questions at them. Well, what about this? And what about this? Does he have a family? And all these questions. And then I arrive and I'm like, ah, buonasera. And she's like, oh, it's you. You know, I rang your doorbell the other day because you forgot your keys. You left your keys in the door. You must have walked in with your groceries and forgot your keys outside of the door. And yeah, she had been ringing my doorbell trying to let me know my keys were still sitting, you know, inside the door, which was very nice, very neighborly, everything great. But Anyway, I didn't know anything about these neighbors, and they didn't really know anything about me. And so Simonetta's like, oh yeah, we told her all about you and about Alessandro and about what you do and all these different things. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Now the whole building probably knows. And you guys are probably like, well, why does it matter what people know about you? And Alessandro told me, just mind your own business. You know, don't let those people, because they're nosy and they're going to want to know all stuff about you. You don't have to tell anybody anything. You know, if I come, then I can have conversations with them if I want to. We'll just tell them what we want them to know. We're not going to just open our life up. Well, my friends probably didn't think there was anything wrong with talking to my neighbors. They just told them everything about me. It is what it is. I'm not upset about it. It wasn't what I was going to do in that situation. So whatever. So that happened on New Year's Eve. And by the way, when they said they were going to come and cook fish, I didn't realize they were going to cook like 7 different courses of fish and need plates for each of those courses. In the United States, I'm used to, we get one plate and we fill the plate up with everything on the plate together. You have, you know, your vegetables, your meat, and any side dishes you have, you just put a little bit on the plate. And if you need more, you refill your plate with as many different things as you want. And so, yeah, you get one plate. Maybe you get a second plate for dessert. And it's a maximum of 2 plates per person for a nice sit-down dinner. Now, granted, I've gone to plenty of Italian restaurants and all the different courses, they bring you different plates. And I didn't really, for some reason, I don't know why, I didn't really think that I needed like 7 or 8 plates per person. I just wasn't prepared for that. Now, we have them. We have multiple different sets of plates. I have had parties with, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people before. And I think I worked just as hard in that party with 3 guests. By the way, this is not me being negative. It's just me sort of humorously observing the differences between a party in the United States and a party here. So, I mean, we were rushing around. I was trying to keep the dishes cleaned. I was trying to get new dishes. I was trying to wash the pots and pans and clean the counters and refill the trash, empty the trash, get a new trash. And just, it was just like incredible. Now, the food that they created was just out of this world. I mean, I've never had better food in my life. And you can't go to a restaurant and get better food than they cooked here. I mean, they cooked clams and these scallops in the shell that were breaded and then put in the oven. And it was shrimp, you know, but not just the little shrimps that we're used to in the United States, the gigantic shrimps that were, you know, have the legs, the head and everything on them and have to be devined or deveined. And anyway, it was just endless amounts of fish. The entire apartment smelled like fish afterwards. And I think it was like maybe like 11 o'clock at night when we finally sat down and the courses just kept coming and the plates just kept coming. And so it was a wild night. And I'm sure we were making lots of noise, and I'm sure that our neighbors probably didn't exactly appreciate how loud we were being. And I was trying my best to like, okay, let's try to keep the volume down, because I know it is, you know, New Year's Eve, but let's try to anyway. But everyone was having plenty of drink and laughing and toasting, and we had music going, and it sounded like we probably had 100 people in the apartment. But anyway, so finally around, I think, 2:30 in the morning, they went back to their hotel, and I was like looking around, and I'm there with the dog Stella, and I'm looking around the apartment, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is unreal. I've just never experienced anything like this. And Alessandro has always told me, oh yeah, I don't love, everybody always expects me to cook and prepare everything for Christmas or New Year's, and it's just so much work. And I'm just like, what do you mean it's so much work? You make a turkey, you make some mashed potatoes, you make a salad, you make a vegetable dish and maybe some bread or something and a dessert, and you just sort of serve it all at once and you're done and you clean up and it's over. That's just not the case with an Italian dinner with multiple courses. It is serious business. And I understand why Alessandro was like, maybe you guys should just go out to a restaurant, find a restaurant and just go to a restaurant. And I was like, no, it's nice to have people at home. And so anyway, he knew what was up. I didn't. that I found out. And so I was trying to clean up at night. I woke up the next morning. I'm cleaning up again. Of course, I'm dealing with Stella. Stella doesn't want to stay on her bed in the kitchen. She wanted to escape into the living room and jump on the furniture. And I was trying to keep her off the furniture because I don't want her to get, she sheds, and I don't want her getting hair all over everything. Because I really don't like dog hair on my clothes and on my furniture. That's just kind of a personal thing. So we had another big, huge dinner the next night, and by the time they went back to Bologna and Florence, it was like I was left with just chaos. It took me a whole day to get caught up and get everything cleaned and put back in order, and there's even still, at this moment, still parts of the oven that are sitting out on the balcony that I haven't even gotten to scour and clean. And anyway, I got my first real experience doing an Italian holiday by myself. Actually, you know, Christmas and New Year's. Christmas was much more calm. Now, I was invited to Alessandro's aunt's house, the aunt that has the dog. And I inquired to see if the dog was going to be there. I made sure Alessandro found out for me so I didn't seem like I was being rude, because I don't want to be rude to Alessandro's family, even though, whatever, we all know the whole story about the dog. I found out the dog was still going to be at that house, and I was like, sorry, I'm not going. Alessandro, you're going to have to figure out a way to express to them. I'm happy to just write them a message and very, very politely say, I adore you, you're wonderful, I'm so grateful you're my family, but fortunately after 4 different attacks by that dog in different houses, I cannot be in the same house as that dog. Clearly the dog has a problem with me and it just doesn't work. And I don't have problems with dogs. I really don't. Dogs love me. Animals love me. It's not that. Even though it sounds like, probably after what I was talking to you about the other dog, not wanting her to jump on the furniture. And our dogs were always well behaved. And so I guess I didn't quite realize how many different dogs there are in the world who just don't have any rules or boundaries. And it's not necessarily saying anything terrible about the owners. I just think that the owners allow it to happen and don't understand that it doesn't have to be like that. And it's just more of a personal experience, personal preference, whatever sort of thing. People raise dogs and animals and children differently. Everybody has their different ways. I'm not saying my way is the right way. It's just the way that works for me. So I successfully got out of having to attend Alessandro's aunt's Christmas party, which was a very small party. It was just her husband and Nonna and her son and the son's wife and baby. So it wasn't a huge thing. And I got out of it by having my own sort of small Christmas gathering here at the house and inviting everyone to that. And, you know, obviously they weren't going to bring their dog here. So that was, I got out of that and didn't have to encounter that dog. And I feel like I'm always playing this odd game of his aunt is always inviting me over, and I'm always trying to like make an excuse for why I don't have time to come in for coffee. I don't have time. Oh no, the dog is locked in the back room. And I'm just like, yeah, well, we've heard that before, and the dog gets out. So moving on from holiday stories and dogs and all of that, let's get into the story, the really great story that I want to share with you. Well, I say great, it's great now, but it wasn't great going through it. Before I get into that story, I just want to quickly take a moment to thank our sponsors. ExpressVPN is what I have been using since moving to Italy. Long before they were ever sponsors of this show, I was using ExpressVPN, and it's amazing that I'm able to use it to make calls and send text messages as if they were local calls back and forth to the United States. And I'm able to use all my streaming services when I'm out at a cafe or somewhere, you know, a train station or somewhere using public Wi-Fi and protected. And there are just so many benefits of ExpressVPN, their incredible service. So if you sign up with ExpressVPN by going to imovingtoitaly.com, you get 3 months for free when you sign up for a 1-year package. If you're gonna move to Italy, travel abroad, or spend even a portion of the year in Italy, this service will pay for itself for sure. So anyway, and by the way, you can also set your VPN to Italy. So if you're in the United States, you can download Italian TV shows and different apps that allow you to watch Italian TV for free while you're in the United States. So there's so many wonderful benefits. So thanks to ExpressVPN for being a sponsor of our show. And also, of course, Babbel Language. If you are wanting to learn a language and you haven't been satisfied with Pemsler or with Duolingo, all those different, and even Rosetta Stone, I used all of those different programs before I discovered Babbel. Now that I'm using Babbel, I find that there is just simply no comparison to those other apps. There's also no substitute for a great Italian language coach like Vera from Kike Language. You can, by the way, get all of her amazing offers and deals and go to her website by visiting my site, because I've got links to her site on my site, kikelanguage.com, but you can also go to imovingtoitaly.com and go to all those links. But anyway, what I've found is even though there's no substitute for living here and for having an Italian language coach, by building a solid foundation of vocabulary and understanding the way the language works, and that's something that Babbel Language does in a way that no other language app I've ever used, no other language program operates the way that Babbel does. And it's effective, and I highly recommend it. I was using it and loved it before they were sponsors of our show as well. I don't ever want to promote anything on this show or have a sponsor of anything that I don't personally believe in and don't personally have experience using before sharing it with you. Regularly, they offer 50 to 55% off to listeners of this podcast. So thanks, Babbel Language, for sponsoring our show. Okay, so let's get into the story that I just went through this past week with my Italian neighbors here. I have never lived in a building before. I have never lived in an apartment before. I have never had neighbors on the same floor that were above me or below me before. I've never had a building that I had to get in with a key, or a building with an elevator or stairs like we have here. I use the stairs. I happen to love climbing the stairs, and I find it to be wonderful. By the way, something I'm going to tell you quickly about Italian buildings is I'm really technically on the according to American standards, I'm on the third floor. So below me is a floor, and then below that is another, is the ground floor. But in Italy, they refer to the ground floor as piano terra, so ground floor. And then they call the first floor, when you go up one flight of stairs, that's what they call the first floor. And then when you go up two flights of stairs from the ground floor, that's what they call the second floor. Well, we would call where I am right now in the United States the third floor, because you have the first floor is the ground floor, then the second floor is the one after that. So anyway, it's just a little bit different. So it depends on where you are. I would be on the third floor if I was in the United States. I'm on the second floor, secondo piano. We're in Italy. That's just a little side note. So it tells you a little bit how high up I am. I can see, I have a great view where I'm sitting right now, looking out over the street and over the city, over the park and the castle and everything. I've got a great view. And of course, I also have road noises. And so again, if you can hear background noises, it's because I'm recording this on the third floor of my building in Italian, of course, secondo piano. So all that to say, I've never had to think about what living next door, above, below, and beside different neighbors in such close quarters, what that means, and how to really behave. I know that probably sounds absurd to some of you. Maybe some of you have always and only lived in buildings. I know people all over the world that live in cities, they live in buildings, that's all they've ever known. I've never known anything about it. So I am a bit of a night owl by nature. And I love to have music on in the background. Sometimes I'll even just turn on a show or a film and just have it on in the background. Another thing I love to do is at night, before I go to bed, and sometimes I don't go to bed until midnight or even 1 o'clock in the morning if I'm up late writing or something. Sometimes I have to submit a writing project to the United States and I have to write very late. And sometimes I'll walk up to the castle late at night, and after that, I'll come home and take a nice hot bath before I go to bed. It calms me down, and it's what I love to do. So anyway, I have been in this habit since I came here to Italy for about the past month. I've been in this habit of taking a bath late at night, and usually while I'm taking a bath, I play an audiobook, or sometimes I'll play music. And I'm not talking about loud, I'm not talking about like loud music or a loud audiobook. I just sort of turn it on in the background and I'll just, you know, listen to it while I take my bath. So I had that one experience where my neighbor across the hall saw that I left my keys in my door and she started ringing my doorbell, and I would go to the doorbell and there would be nobody there because by the time I would get to the door, she was back in her apartment. But then I found the keys hanging there and I was like, okay, thank you, you know, for letting me know my keys were there. So I have a doorbell outside my door, and then the other way is to let me know that you're trying to come in is you go outside the building, you ring my door number, my apartment number, and you know, I can buzz you in through an intercom system. So the other night I was having an extra late night and I walked up to the castle, and usually I use my time walking up to the castle to have phone calls and you know, I'm walking and talking to Alessandro or just one of my friends or family or somebody. And so I walk up to the castle, I get back, and sometimes I'll take my bath. Well, this time I decided, it was like maybe midnight or something like that, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run my bath very, very slowly so that by the time I get home, I will have a bathtub full of hot water and I'll just be able to hop in, and it's cold here, and so I'll be able to get, you know, sort of warm up by you know, jumping in that nice hot bath. And so I'll just turn it on the lowest trickle of water, and hopefully in the 30 or 45 minutes it takes me to get back and forth to the castle, I'll have my bath just waiting for me. And so that's what I did. I had my water running and I left, and I got back and I could hear the water still running in the bathroom just a little bit. And I got back and sure enough, the bath was just totally ready for me. And I'm taking my shoes off and putting my coat down, and I'm in the back guest room and my doorbell rings, and it's like 1 a.m. in the morning. But it didn't just ring like ding dong, it rang like 7 times. It rang a lot. And like almost like a kid was trying to prank me by just ding 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 the doorbell. And so I was like, what? So I like set my jacket aside and I go to the door and there's nobody there. And I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but whatever. So I go to the bathroom and I'm in the bathtub and I'm enjoying my bath, and my doorbell rings again. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So I get out of the bathtub, get my towel on, get my robe on and my slippers, and I walk to the door and there's still nobody there. And I'm just like, what in the world is this? Like, what is it? Anyway, I go to bed and I kind of forget about it. And the next day I pick up Alessandro's mother and I drive her to the next town over because she has an appointment there. And so I drive her there and we come back, and you know, she stops by my apartment and we're sitting having a cup of coffee together, an espresso, and my doorbell starts ringing again. Just the same sort of ding, 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 ding. And I was just like, what is going on? So I was like, maybe you should go check and see who it is, to Alessandro's mother. She's like, okay, I'll go check. And so she answers the door. And this time, one of the old neighbors, the old lady who lives next door to me, she's like, just starts going off to Alessandro's mother about me, about, you know, what's going on. You know, she's going on and on and on. And I'm hearing her say, no respondere, no respondere. Like, he's not responding. And I'm thinking to myself, I have responded. Like, what's going on? Like, I've gone to the door several times. You're not there. So apparently what I didn't realize is that the night before, when I had left my water on in the bathtub, my bathroom is directly adjoining their bedroom. And when I say their bedroom, I'm talking about a 90-year-old woman and her 87-year-old sister. So these two older women who are 90 and late 80s and early 90s, they live together in the apartment right next door to mine. And their sister, the woman who has a dog who met my friends, Simonetta and Ivano and Barbara, she lives across the hall, and she's their other sister, and she's married. Her husband and her and their dog live across the hall. So it's three sisters. They all live on the same floor, and they're all my neighbors. And apparently I have been driving them out of their mind with my late baths, my audiobooks in the bath. And apparently what'll happen is they'll ring my doorbell sometime, but I've already left to walk up to the castle, or they've been trying apparently to speak to me, but for some reason, whenever I go to the door, they're not there. So apparently the straw that broke the camel's back for these old neighbor ladies was when I left the bathtub running, and they were convinced that I was flooding the apartment. And they were trying to not only stop the sound of water adjoining their bedroom door, which I can't imagine that water running into a bathtub would be enough to drive someone that crazy, but apparently it was. And maybe their bed butts up against my bathroom wall, and maybe their heads are against the wall. Maybe they're like literally their ears are against my wall when they're going to sleep. I don't know the layout of that bedroom of theirs, but they were convinced that the entire second floor or third floor, depending on how you think about it, our entire floor of our building was going to be flooded. They're imagining water coming into their apartment. They're imagining water sinking down into the apartments below. And they were just convinced that I was destroying the building by letting water run unattended. And so I'm in the kitchen while Alessandro's mother is out in the hallway talking to these ladies. And then the other sister, so the two sisters next door are raising their voice and saying all these different things. And I'm picking up fragments of what they're saying, about it's so late, it's so late. And acqua in bagno, tutte notte. And they're just going on and on. And then the sister across the hall, she comes out of her apartment with her dog. And the three sisters are talking to Alessandro's mother. And they're all, you know, talking in this animated, you know, way with all these expressions. And the hands are going and the voices are getting raised. And it's just like, you know, who is that anyway? Who is that? Who's living there? Who is it? What's his name? And where's he from, and what is he doing, and why is he up so late all the time? And she's trying to tell them, you know, he's a writer and he's a journalist from the United States, and he works late because he's working, you know, doing stuff to the United States, and he probably doesn't understand that your bedroom is so close to the bathroom. And so I step out into the hallway with, of course, my recording device so I can record all of this and share it with all of you. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry, mi scusi. And I was like, you know, I'm sorry for disturbing you, and you know, please forgive me. Mi dispiace, mi scusi, you know, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, and I beg your pardon. And I'm just going on and on, and they're sort of looking at me like, oh, you, it's you, we finally get to see you, you're the culprit, like it's you that have been ruining our lives for the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks or however long. And anyway, we sort of diffused the situation, and I promised that in the future I'll be more quiet at night. And anyway, so I felt really bad, actually. I felt really bad about it. And so I'm like, what can I do to like make them hate me a little bit less? Because they were really agitated. They weren't just like, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, but you know, late at night, you know, it seems like maybe there's water running, and I just want you to know it's next to our bedroom. No, they're like full on yelling at me and Alessandro's mother, and they're like, what is your relationship anyway? You know, what is your relationship? And Alessandro's mother is just like, you know, we don't tell anybody anything. I'm just going to tell them you're my nephew. And she's like, no, this is just my nephew. And your nephew, but I thought he was like, anyway, there was just, oh, gosh. So I'm stressed out about this situation, like super stressed out. I'm feeling really bad because I'm thinking back on all the times that I was playing music in the bathtub and listening to audiobooks and talking on the phone in the bathtub and studying Italian in the bathtub. And you know, like I don't always take baths late at night. Sometimes I take them, you know, in the morning too, but I don't know. I was just like, what can I do? So I decided I'm going to like go out, and I'm going to go to a local florist. I'm going to buy them some really big, beautiful flowers, you know, live flowers planted in a pot. Because when I was talking to them, I happened to glance into their apartments, and I saw that they had some plants. So I could tell that, you know, of course, like any good Italian woman, they love plants and they love flowers in their house, and you know, like they're good gardeners. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and buy some nice plants. So I bought these two enormous cyclamen plants, full of pink flowers in these wonderful ceramic pots. And if you've ever been to a florist in Italy, you understand that they go above and beyond. You go and you buy a flower. It could be something very tiny. Well, what they do to dress that flower up and put it in cellophane, and they make all these little handmade little rosebuds out of ribbon, and they use hot glue, and they use ribbons, and they use like all of these different techniques to wrap your gift up, and it makes whatever you buy look so much more substantial than it actually is. And so these two huge plants, by the time the florist was done creating these works of art with them, they looked like something absolutely magnificent. And so I got back to the apartment, and I had actually asked Alessandro's mother, you know, okay, if I want to write a little note to them and drop them some flowers later, what should I write? And so she told me exactly how to write it in perfect Italian. And so I wrote these two notes, and I put them in envelopes, and I took the flowers out to the corridor, and I rang the doorbell of the oldest neighbors, the two sisters that lived together, the ones that I was really bothering. I rang their doorbell, and I could hear them inside, but they were not coming to the doorbell. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so no rispondere either. No, tu non rispondere. Anyway, so then I rang the other sister's doorbell. She answers the doorbell, and she's like, oh, no, no, no bisogno, no, 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 no. And I'm like, si, mi dispiace, and I was like, you know, I'm so sorry, please take these flowers as a, you know, as basically as a peace offering. And anyway, so she, of course, then she is the one, Alessandro told me, because he knows these old ladies, he knows all about them, even more than I did. He's like, that's the younger sister. She's the one that has the key to the other one's apartment, and she runs the whole show. She makes sure that everything's under control. He's like, so you went to the boss lady. And so I listened, and then sure enough, she picked up the flowers that I had left at the door of the sisters. She opened their door. She took the flowers in, and then I ran into my bathroom, and I'm listening against the wall, and I could hear this whole, like, it was this whole scene inside their apartment with the three sisters, le tre sorelle, and they were just like, oh, I'm hearing all this back and forth. Of course, I can't hear exactly what they're saying, but every once in a while, I hear a word like, bella, bella, incredibile, or something like that. And so, anyway, so I've seen them since then and said, you know, buongiorno, buonasera, or whatever, and everything smiles and everyone's happy, and I have not taken a single late night bath for the past several days. And so I think I'm learning how to live like a good Italian in an apartment building, in a building with neighbors very close proximity to me. I feel a little bit moronic and a little bit crazy for being so, I don't know, thinking that walls were soundproof for some reason, and thinking that surely nobody can hear me taking a bath, and surely nobody can hear me playing music in my office. And anyway, of course, I have those surrounding sounds to share with you at the end of this episode, but that's what happened. And I was so upset about it. If Alessandro's mother had not been here, and I had answered the door, and those three women had come at me with their complaints and their trying to explain to me how horrible I was, and water coming at night, I would have understood what they were saying, but I don't think I would have had the right vocabulary to try to express to them, you know, I'm sorry, I am a writer, I work late, and I am a writer in the United States. And it doesn't really register to Italians that this idea of remote working is not really something especially older generations of Italian understand. They understand you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you come back for lunch, then you return to work, and you work for the rest of the day, and then you get back home. Like, that's the only thing they understand about work. You go out of the house to work. They don't understand this idea of working remotely, working from home. And so I tried to explain that to them, even with Alessandro's mother there, and they said, no, capito. And they were like, well, we don't understand what you're trying to say. And I was just like, oh, okay. So thank goodness Alessandro's mother was there to help me through that situation, because without her there, I don't know if it would have been resolved so easily. And I'm grateful for her because her and I can communicate very well. And anyway, so that was my recent experience with my neighbors. And I have made it my goal in life to charm them from here on out, to be the most charming neighbor and to have nothing but good experiences with them and to not disturb them or keep them awake at night and all the terrible things that I was doing unknowingly before I was corrected and set straight by the three sisters on the third floor. So that's my crazy story. I have so much more to share with you in the coming episodes, in the coming weeks, about what it's been like to be here in Italy. And I'm loving it. To be able to be here in Italy alone and to be able to focus all my time and energy on my work in a way that I've not been able to do before. I mean, I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I'm so grateful for this experience to be immersed in Italian and not to have Alessandro around helping me, being my translator, being my crutch. And so it's been just lots of fun. I've had stressful moments, of course, as I always do, because I don't like to think of myself as an easily stressed person, but I realize that the kind of things that do cause me stress are the kind of things that I'm experiencing here, which is things like not being able to communicate well with people, to have conflict with people and not be able to communicate. So in our next episode, Vera is going to have her segment be dedicated to this exact topic, and that is how to have conflict with an Italian person, how to resolve conflict successfully with an Italian. Because I don't think that just because I've resolved one conflict with my neighbors doesn't mean that I'm an expert resolving conflict with Italians. How do you fight with an Italian? Italians are professional fighters, I'm going to just tell you. And I told Vera, she was asking me, because I was texting her, and I was like, you know, what should I do with these old neighbor ladies of mine, and how should I interact with them and everything? And she was giving me advice, and I was like, well, just so you know, they won the fight. And she's like, of course they won the fight. I'm not a fighter. And even Alessandro said, you know, you're just not a fighter, Nathan. You're not the kind of person that wants to fight with people. And I'm not. I hate fighting with people. I'll do anything to try to, not that everyone's always right and I'm always going to be wrong, but like, I hate fighting with people. And it's really, really a feeling of total helplessness if you're trying to fight with someone and you don't even know how to fight with them, because you're using different sets of skills and they're using different weapons and tools that you don't have access to, they're going to just run right over the top of you. So I don't know that the way that I handled the situation was necessarily the best, by taking them flowers and begging for their forgiveness and writing them a card. I don't think it probably hurt, but they probably think I'm crazy and strange, and they probably didn't ever expect for me to give them flowers, but at least I tried to express to them in the universal language of flowers, which I think everybody understands. But anyway, I'm excited to hear what Vera has to say in our next episode about how to have successful conflict, how to resolve conflict with your Italian neighbors or your Italian people that you encounter in Italy, because you're going to have conflict no matter where you are in the world. But if you're in Italy and you're not a super fluent Italian, which I am, you know, I'm not super fluent in the language, then you're going to need some help. And so Vera's going to give us some tips on how to do that in our next episode. And speaking of Vera, let's jump into her first segment of La Vera Italia for the new year. Here is Vera Sarzano in La Vera Italia. Ciao Vera, welcome back to another segment of La Vera Italia.
Ciao Nathan, so good to be here. I missed you so much.
I know, I missed you too. Doing our podcast and doing this segment together is something I've gotten so used to that it's hard for me to not have it.
Yeah, but we went the Italian way, right? 2 weeks off and just relaxing and eating and enjoying the holidays.
We sure did. So speaking of that, by the way, buon anno, happy new year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your Christmas.
You mean Christmas Day or Christmas holidays?
I guess just the Christmas holidays. How were they for you this year?
Okay, they started off great, pretty good. My parents came here this time. Usually I go back to the north because both my family and my husband's family live there. But this time I had a problem with my back and I was waiting for surgery. So I couldn't travel. So my parents came here and we had a nice and cozy Christmas at home. No need to go and visit all the relatives that you only see once a year. So I really took time for myself. And I finally got my phone call. And so I knew that my surgery was finally scheduled for January 3rd. So I started off 2023 the best way possible in surgery.
Oh my gosh.
But that means that I really enjoyed my Christmas holidays and decided to just shut everything off and just relax and enjoy the holidays because I knew a few hard weeks were ahead of me. And so that's how I do. I usually celebrate on Christmas Eve with a big dinner with my family. And that's what we did for the first time at my place. And I was so excited. So I put up the Christmas tree and all the lights and the decorations and decided what to cook, of course, because we are Italian, we eat a lot. So I had a great Christmas at home, open presents, and we just went to bed. And then on Christmas Day, that's what I usually do. Nothing. I just relax and just read books and sleep, you know, cat naps all day long. That was so, so nice.
One whole day of bliss. That sounds wonderful for Christmas. Well, I want to get into, in a minute, I want to get into your some questions about how you're doing. And by the way, thanks for coming back here today. I know that because you have had the surgery and you are still recovering, I want you to share a little bit about maybe what you're going through if you're up for it. But thanks for being back here. It's so nice.
It is good to be here. It makes me feel better because you see, if I'm here, it means I'm all good.
Well, it certainly makes me feel better. I know everybody listening feels better that you're here too. I started getting some messages from a few listeners that didn't realize that we were taking a break for the podcast. They're like, we haven't seen your podcast. Is everything okay? And I was like, no, we just took a little Italian holiday.
Yeah, that's how it works here.
It was nice, actually. It was good, I think, to have that time off. But it's nice to know that you miss it and you want to have that back, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. E well, qual è la tradizione più strana degli italiani a Natale?
Oh, wow.
Because I forgot about my question.
Well, we weren't even going to do anything formal. This is, by the way, normally Vera comes to these La Vera Italian segments with a whole sort of prepared topic. But I told her because she just is recovering from surgery, today we're just going to have a conversation. So yes. You just dropped the unexpected Italian bomb question on me that I wasn't even expecting.
That is not the topic. That is just how we greet each other with an Italian question. And it was
That's true.
About to forget it.
It's true. Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it again one more time.
Okay, it just came so naturally to me that now I forgot the exact wording, but something like, qual è la tradizione più strana degli italiani a Natale?
Mm-hmm. What is the strangest Italian, tradition that Italians do in Italy?
For Christmas, yeah.
Of course, for Christmas, that's what I meant. So, okay. Let me think of the one that I think is the strangest first, and then I'll tell you. I think for an American, maybe the strangest or oddest or most unusual thing is the idea of the Befana. Let's see if I can respond in Italian. La tradizione più strana in Italia è la tradizione della Befana?
La tradizione della Befana, sì.
Della Befana, okay. Wow, I made it through. Okay. So, yeah, just the idea of the hag, the witch, whatever you call her, the old woman who rides around on a broom.
Okay, not a witch. Not a witch. That's very important. Not a witch, no hat. She has like a handkerchief on her head, like a scarf.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a bandana. She's not a witch. She's
not a witch. No, no. She's an old lady, kind of grumpy. Mm-hmm. Like I see myself in a few years. And no, just kidding. She represents the old. So the past year, the old year that you need to sweep away. So that's why she has a broom. And she flies on her broomstick, but it's not a witch, so she's a magic woman. She flies on her broomstick and delivers candies to children in Italy and put them in stockings. So you have stockings for Christmas. We have them for La Befana. And it's sweets and candies for good kids. And it's coal if you've been bad.
Coal. And you actually have coal candy, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Back in the past.
Which is called carbone?
Carbone, correct. Okay. Back in the past, my mom or even my grandparents were given like tangerine or an orange as a good gift or real coal. Right. They were bad kids. Yeah. And in their real socks, because that's how it all started. And now we have fake coal for children, and it's just sugar, black sugar, but it's kind of funny. And all sort of stockings with their favorite cartoon characters or soccer team or things like that. But it's really, really a nice tradition. She flies on the night between the 5th and the 6th of January. And the 6th of January is l'Epifania, so the Epiphany, the day where the three wise men reach baby Jesus. And we say, l'Epifania, tutte le feste si porta via. L'Epifania, tutte le feste si porta via. So Epiphany Day takes all the holidays away. So they put an end to all the holidays because it's a bank holiday in Italy. All offices and shops, everything is closed because it's holiday. And that's when Christmas holidays are finally over.
So I was reading.
I knew it.
Oh my gosh, I can't handle myself. Anyway, for anybody listening and wondering why Vera and I can't even say your name right now. Anyone wondering why Vera and I are laughing is because this is like the fifth take of me trying to talk about this article that I just read, and I cannot for the life of me pronounce Le Befana.
Correct. Oh, it's La Befana.
I know, that's the whole point. Is I that time I did it on purpose, but okay. I know it's La Befana now, but I keep saying Le Bufana, and it's not Bufana, and it's not Le Bufana. It's La Befana.
Yes.
Anyway, so if I was pronouncing it wrong, earlier in the episode, now you understand why. Okay, so let's get to this article about La Befana that I was reading and the origins of it. You tell me if you think this is correct, Veda. So the wise men are heading to find baby Jesus to take him his gifts. Okay. And along the way, they meet an old woman and they say, hey, we're trying to find where the baby Jesus is. We're following his star. And can you give us directions? And she's like, I'm not giving you directions. She was grumpy. She was mean. And then they went away and they found baby Jesus without her. Well, then she felt bad. And she was like, oh, I should have been more polite. I should have been more welcoming to those wise men. And because she felt bad, she every year now, she flies around to every house and leaves on the Epiphany and leaves the candy for all the children, because just to be on the safe side, just because in one of those houses might be the baby that those wise men were looking for. That's what I read. Is that wrong?
You know, I read that too. Maybe, you know how it happens when traditions just overlap. There was probably a pagan holiday before, and then after Christianity and Catholic Church, and then they overlap the two holidays, because there are many, many local traditions in Italy, Northern Italy especially, and Switzerland and Austria, where on the first week, during the first week of the year, they burn like straw puppets or straw witches, in this case, real witches, called Giubiana, for example, in around Como. So you see Giubiana, Befana, they sound pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
So it represented the end of the old year and the beginning of the new one. And New Year's Eve was around January the 6th with the old calendar. So I don't know. I only read this in English, actually, not in Italian, this year. So either it's an old Italian tradition, a fairy tale, they told people that some Italian immigrant brought to the United States back in the past, maybe, and now it came to surface around the holidays, or maybe it's just something I had never heard about. What I know is that it represents the old and that she's kind of grumpy with adults, but she's very, very sweet with little kids. You had to be kind of weary and behave because the Befana could bring you coal, you know, this old tradition. But beside the kids' candies, it was mostly let's get rid of the past and everything that is old and let's start anew.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess I don't feel too out of the loop if you just read that. Maybe we read the same article.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor up above, by the way, is sweeping their balcony. And if you hear some banging against the balcony railing above me, that is loud where I am, but maybe it's not coming through on the speaker. That's why I'm still adjusting to life in this new building.
I think I heard something.
Yes, I just shared it with the listeners in my previous segment. And anyway, it's been quite an adjustment learning to live in a building for the first time in my life, in the heart of a city also for the first time in my life. So there's been a lot of adjustments.
One tiny tip, if you're buying or renting a property in Italy and you're in a condominium, so you don't have a villa or just a single house, but you're in a flat in a condominium building apartment, upper floor, just the top floor of the building, nothing else. So you don't have people moving their furniture around 5 o'clock in the morning because they decide it's time to clean the floors. You don't have people cleaning their, I have no idea how to say that in English. Sorry, because you don't, okay, tablecloths. Have me here with my English. You have lunch, you have your tablecloths on the table. You have all the crumbs in there. And at the end of your meal, you just get outside and do this, because you can see me right now. How do you say this verb? In Italian, it's a scrollare la tovaglia.
Shake, oh, just shake? Shake.
You don't have a special word for that?
Well, that's what you're doing to it. You're just shaking it.
Okay, I thought it was more difficult. Anyway, you shake the tablecloth.
No, Italians would create a special word just for their tablecloth, shaking it, because it's something that they do.
Yeah, you're right. It's not just for tablecloths, but yeah, it's a word that we don't use that often. So that's why I struggle.
Say it one more time.
Scrollare. Scrollare. That's the infinitive.
Scrollare. Scrollare. Okay. Scrollare. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you have your neighbors scrollare, che scrollano la tovaglia, shaking their tablecloths on your balcony, maybe on your terrace. Same thing with the broom right now. They're just cleaning the broom on the railings of their balcony, and probably all the dust is coming onto your balcony, but maybe you have your laundry there.
No, not this time of the year.
Yeah, but know what I mean? So upper
floor. It could be. Yeah. So top floor, that's a very good tip. You also mentioned something earlier before we started recording about make sure that if you are in a condominium, make sure you have your own heating system and not use the one in the building.
Yeah, I mean, it's not up to you, because if there's a condominium furnace, probably you're not even allowed to have one in your apartment. Because with condominium furnaces, you have to stick with the times they decide. So the heating will be on a couple of hours in the morning and then it will stop. So you have time to clean the house, the apartment. So from 9 to 11:30, 12, it's usually off. And then they turn it on again for lunch. And then they turn it off again after lunch, because at that point you should be napping. So you will have a blanket on or even be in your bed, so you don't need heating on. But if you do weird hours like I do, because, for example, I work a lot with the United States, so I stay up late, I wake up later in the morning. That's just crazy, because every time I need the heating, it's not on.
Not good. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm grateful that we have our own heating in this building. Oh, before I forget, Vera, the Pope died over the Christmas holidays, didn't he? Not the current Pope, Francis, but the one who was a Pope for just a very short period of time. What was his name? Ratzinger or something?
Ratzinger.
Mm-hmm. Ratzinger.
Benedetto XVI was his Pope name, and Ratzinger was his last name. And now we have Papa Francesco Bergoglio.
Right, okay. Nobody really cared about the one who just died. Did they? Did anybody really care, or did okay. they?
My husband does really care. Oh. He liked that Pope better than the one we have now.
Oh, okay.
Ratzinger was seen as too intellectual, too detached from people, but he was a great theologist, of course. He wrote a lot of books, and he had a knowledge that was amazing. I mean, history and philosophy and theology, obviously. And my husband was a big fan of his, actually. And he was really sad when he decided to retire. And it was the very first time in the history of Catholic religion that happened. He decided to retire because he knew he couldn't do his best at that point. Mm-hmm. So for the first time in history, there were two popes at the same time.
Alive at the same time.
Yeah, alive at the same time, right. Obviously. And while the new Pope is in more like a people man, he likes being around people. He's more down to earth. Probably it's like your uncle or your grandpa. So the average people like him more. But for example, my husband Luca preferred Papa Ratzinger.
Well, it's interesting, too, both not to spend too much time talking about the popes, but wasn't Benedetto from like Germany or something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was German.
He was German. And then Francis, is he from Argentina?
Yes. Argentina, yes. Papa Francesco is from Argentina.
So were those the first two popes that were not Italian?
I think so. No, Papa Wojtyła. It was from Poland. The one before Papa Ratzinger, Giovanni Paolo II, that was his name.
Okay, Pope John Paul, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you want to search for it on YouTube, I bet you'll find it. One of his first speech as a pope, he was at the window in San Pietro, St. Peter Cathedral, and he was like, I'm sorry, I'm not Italian. My Italian is not that good. And if I make mistake, I'm sure you will correct me. And he said it with the funniest and sweetest accent that became so famous. And he makes a tiny mistake there, but everyone cheered and it was so moving. That was back in 1978. I wasn't even there, but it's kind of famous.
Right. Oh, wow. That's interesting to know. Okay, well, we'll get off the history lesson about the popes, but that's interesting that Luca was a fan of Benedetto, the pope that passed away. And it kind of, I don't know how much of a story it was. The only reason I'm mentioning it is because I don't know if during the holidays, everyone's so busy. I wasn't sure if anyone really was following the news or even if the story was big enough to be an international news story that a retired pope had passed away. I'm sure it was mentioned in passing, but if you could have easily missed it. So I'm glad that we addressed that. And so it's interesting. I just find that whole, the whole thing about the popes, they're very much like kings, if you think about it.
Yes, they are.
If you consider the fact that there's never one alive while the other one is still alive. It's like one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. But anyway, that's a topic for a whole nother day. So something you and I, that has brought me an incredible amount of pleasure, by the way, something you and I have started doing over the past few weeks, over the Christmas holiday, when we had all this extra time on our hands, is we started playing Wordle together, the New York Times Wordle, every day, didn't we?
Yeah, and I couldn't be more grateful because I didn't know that game and now I'm like addicted. I wait and I can't wait for it to be midnight so I can see the new word and it's just amazing. I love it.
Well, I have to say that I almost regret a little bit telling you about it because I used to think I was a good Wordle player. I'm telling you, folks, I started comparing our, you know, our Wordle scores, you know, every day we'll like text each other. Okay. Did you get it today? Yes. And we make sure not to give away the clue if the other person hasn't got it yet. But Vera, who is not even a native English speaker, is beating me consistently every single time. She's like guessing the Wordle. And if you don't play Wordle, just type in Wordle, W-O-R-D-L-E, and go New York Times Wordle, and you can play it every day and just keep it open on your phone or your computer or whatever. And you just play it every day and keeps track of your score. And it's a five-letter word that you have six tries to guess it correctly. Yeah. And you have to guess it correctly. Every time you guess, it tells you if you got one of the letters correctly and if they're in the right place or not. Anyway, it's been actually absolutely a lot of fun to do that. You are also now into Spelling Bee, which is the other kind of newer game that the New York Times has developed. That's another really fun game that you're really good at. But you're a language expert, so of course you're so good at this, but you're even better at it than I am, and you're even better than I knew you'd be good, but I didn't even know you'd be this good.
Okay, that's not true. I'm not better than you are, but that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I'm a language expert, and my brain works differently when I play Wordle compared to your brain. If we were playing a similar game in Italian, you would be better than me. It's not that I speak English better of you, of course. So what happens? You see the letters there, and you think in your mind of all the words you know in English, and of course there are thousands of them, and you try to find one that fits, right? Well, I do something different, because my brain doesn't think that fast in English, of course, and I don't know as many words as a native speaker does in English. So what I do there is I look at the letters and see what letter combinations work. So, for example, we all know that there is no word that starts with WN. They don't go together. That's as simple as that. And so I just build up my words. I don't think of the meaning. So I don't think, okay, I have to find in my brain a word that fits there. I just look like I'm building Lego pieces, you know, and see if they work. And so finally I get to the words probably not faster than you, well, sometimes, but just because I do it differently. When I play in English, when I do La Settimana Enigmistica, for those of you who are a little bit more advanced in your Italian language, there's this magazine called La Settimana Enigmistica. It's all crosswords and puzzles, all about language, you know, it's sort of like Wordle. And when I do that in Italian, I do like you do it in English. So my brain literally works differently. And that's what is so amazing about languages.
It's really interesting that I still think you're just trying to make me feel better about why I'm not as good as you with Wordle. You're really blowing me away because Wordle is not really an easy game. And anyone who plays it knows that it's not easy. And sometimes you can get stuck on a word like for the whole day, and then it's the end of the day and they're about ready to issue a new Wordle game for the following day. You still haven't even, you know, had the time to solve the previous days or the current days puzzle. But anyway, you're good, and it's really fun to play with you. That's really interesting, the way you just described, the way you focus on letters instead of words. So you're building words out of letters, whereas we are just saying, okay, what word fits? Maybe that's a good tip. Maybe that'll help me as I start continue on. I thought I was doing something like that myself, but apparently I'm not. Whatever.
No, you're winning. Because you're doing it in your native language, you see. So your brain just goes through all the possible words you know.
Uh-huh.
If I know, I mean, and that's unconscious, but I do know that if I try to do that in English, it won't work because it's not so fast and they're not all there when I need them, the words. I mean, even if I know them, what happens with a foreign language is that if I read something, I understand all the words. When I need to talk and speak, maybe the same words I know don't come up to my mind. So I have to do a different technique. So maybe if you're stuck on your Wordle, you can try my technique.
I'm going to, for sure. By the way, you got today's. Mm-hmm. Today's was actually, what was it? Pixie today?
Yeah, Pixie.
Hopefully nobody listens to this. No, by the time anyone listens to this, it'll be after. It'll be after the fact. So we're not ruining it for anybody. But the words that you get, and the other word that we got the other day was belie, right? Mm-hmm. That was another crazy word. You're getting these words that you never even heard of before, and you're still guessing them correctly. Like, how are you doing that?
You see, anyway. I got belie in like three or maybe four guesses. Uh-huh. But I felt it was sort of like cheating because with some luck, I got most of the letters and I just missed the first one. And I was like, okay, I don't know this word. That was a new word for me. And I was like, okay, can be gelie, kelie. And I just went through all the alphabet. And belie was the only one who sort of made sense by ear, even though I didn't know the meaning. I tried and it worked. So I don't count that as winning. It was almost
cheating. Oh, it's still winning. I'm sorry, but it's still winning. You know what the word means now. Anyway, if you put the letters in the right place and you guess the word, that's how the game works. But don't try to be humble. It's not going to work. We're not going to let you be humble today. You're just really, really good with languages. So let's just try to accept that fact.
Okay, thank you. Grazie. Merci. Danke. Thank you, well.
There we go. Exactly. She rattles off thank you in 17 different languages. Well, anyway, it's been lots of fun, Vera, and doing Wordle with you. So anybody who wants to join in with Vera and I, you're welcome to send either Vera and I or both of us your Wordles that you get right on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, wouldn't we?
Of course.
The other thing that you and I have been discussing recently were some TV shows that I recommended a while back that had a lot of Italian in them. There were two TV shows. One of them was From Scratch on Netflix. The other one was The White Lotus, season 2 on HBO Max. Well, it's HBO, but you watch it on their streaming service, HBO Max, if you're a streamer. And I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on both of those shows. Now, of course, I already gave a disclaimer when I was recommending these shows. I'm not really recommending the shows because necessarily the content is so wonderful. But for this audience, I'm recommending the shows because of how much Italian is used in the shows. And it was a surprising amount of Italian that's subtitled. And most English speaking audiences, I guess I'm referring mainly to the United States, they have a very low tolerance for foreign films that are subtitled. Mm-hmm. Because I think probably because we're really spoiled, and because most of the films made, there's also Bollywood that makes a lot of films, but most of the well-known films in the world came from the United States. That's where filmmaking began, of course, in California. And so the native tongue of film is English. And so we just kind of got used to just watching our films in our native language. And so we didn't really ever get comfortable with subtitles. But I happen to really enjoy foreign films, and I happen to be just fine with subtitles in almost any language. And I would prefer a subtitle over a dubbed over voice, so that I would prefer not to have the actors speaking one way, but words are coming out of their mouth sounding differently. I hate that. That's the worst kind of, it's the worst kind of thing to do to a film, in my opinion. But I would love to hear your thoughts, Vera, on both of these shows, White Lotus and From Scratch. From the perspective of just you as an individual, what did you think of the shows? Which ones did you like? Why did you like them? If you even liked either of them. But also, what were your thoughts about the Italian language that was used in those two shows?
Okay, I personally like The White Lotus more. That's more my genre. I liked it a lot. I like this kind of TV series with a little bit of comedy, if you want, because I also laughed out loud in a few parts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kind of a mystery to it and some deep thought, not just the surface, something you don't expect. So I really enjoyed that more. And while from scratch, it was kind of stereotype, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Italy, you have Florence. He's a chef, of course, because he's Italian, and kind of more cliche, if you want. Mm-hmm. But it was a good show with great picture. Mm-hmm. I really like the scenes. Now, as far as the Italian language is concerned, don't watch from scratch. That's not Italian. I mean, episode 1 and 2, I think, when they're still in Florence, I'm not giving away anything, but just to give you an idea, of course, mm-hmm. when they are still in Florence, that's kind of standard Italian that they speak. And it's pretty good, even though a few actors, I think they were American speaking Italians, beside the main character, of course, that we know she's American, but I'm talking about waiters and so on. A few of them just had a weird accent in Italian, but it was good anyway. But then it's all set in Sicily, in a small town in Sicily, from lower classes and a very traditional and older people, and they just speak plain dialect. I had to add subtitles to that because I couldn't get a few sentences. So it's not good for your Italian language skills if you're trying to improve that, unless you want to move to Sicily so you can start and get used to their dialect and their language. Because it's not only dialects in Italy. So dialects are like the languages that were spoken throughout the Italian peninsula before the unification and before Italian became the only official language. Okay. And we are talking about the early 1900s here. So up to the 1950s, when TV came, most people only spoke dialects at home. So different languages, very similar to Italian in some way, grammar structure, but really, I cannot understand them. I cannot understand most of them. And Italian was just the language of culture and literature and school, of course. So basically, that's dialect. But even today, where everyone speaks real Italian, standard Italian, whatever you want to call it, each region has some unique words that derive from their dialect. And in Sicily, of course, they have a lot of them, and I couldn't figure out a few of them. I heard another few. I have some Sicilian friends, so I heard them and I asked them, what's that about? But yeah, it's like when you read, I don't know, a British book, maybe if you're from the States, or the other way around, there are a few words that you just say differently. That's sort of it, sort of the mm-hmm. same thing. So from scratch, not good for your real Italian. While The White Lotus, that was amazing. It's also set in Sicily, but the Italian characters, they're from Rome, for example, someone from Sicily, of course, but you just get the accent, not the words. So it's standard Italian. They are very, very good Italian actors. I've always had a thing for Sabrina Impacciatore. She's the hotel manager, and she's just amazing. And there are two young Sicilian girls in the show. Their Italian is also perfect, and they're very good actresses. So The White Lotus, it's probably better for your language goals.
And both Alessandra and I both really enjoyed watching The White Lotus together, because Alessandra was laughing out loud too. Yeah. And that tells me something. If two Italians were entertained by an American TV show set in Italy, of course, and set in Sicily, but it was enough of the right kind of humor that those Italian actors brought to the screen, and even the American actors too. Jennifer Coolidge, of course, who you and I both love.
Of course.
She was great. She was great. Of course, she was like the star of the whole thing, and she was just absolutely fantastic throughout. So yeah, we definitely agree that is the show to watch if you want to watch a show set in Sicily. I think I was telling you the other day when you and I were just talking that I think it's going to make a big impact that show on tourism in Sicily. Sicily was has for a long time been kind of under the radar, but it's slowly been getting more popular over the years by people that don't skip Sicily when they come to visit Italy. Normally people just come and see the mainland, the peninsula, you know, of Italy. But I think now there's going to be people that come just specifically to Sicily. And I think very much because of that show, maybe both of those shows, you know, if you happen to love From Scratch, that's okay too. It's not a bad show. It's very well done. And, but it's just, it's a different type of show completely. And so it's not my, it's a little too much like a Hallmark movie for me. I don't really like Hallmark movies, but the other interesting thing is Alessandro also did not like From Scratch. So I find it interesting that both of the Italians didn't like it because it wasn't a very, he said the exact same thing as you. It was stereotypical. They're trying to make Italians into a certain stereotype, have the women dress like, you know, they're from the, you know, the early 19 or late 1800s with, you know, the all the clothes. And maybe there are a few people that still dress like that in Italy, but it's not, it's just the men are not wearing suspenders to hold their pants up the way they, you know, I mean, if they try to dress them like village, like sort of like village peasants from like 100 years ago. So I don't know. There's little things that drove me crazy about that show, but good to know that don't watch that show, especially the Sicilian sections of that show, if you're trying to improve your Italian, because you're just not going to, you're going to think that you don't understand any Italian at all. And I had that experience while watching it too. I was like, wait a minute, what are they saying? I can't even understand any of it.
And, you know, I sort of had the same experience while watching The White Lotus when a certain character came up, like the nephew, his accent.
Oh, yes. The famous nephew. I know exactly who you're talking about. He was the British actor.
The young one.
The young one that everybody's going crazy about because he was the hot guy. And the girl was sort of into him because the assistant was into him because he was the wild one and the good boy, of course. You know, that story about the good guy, you know, the girls choose the bad guys often because they're more exciting or whatever. Yes, his accent was some type of British accent. I don't know where he was from. Maybe it was a Cockney accent or something. I have no idea. Are you saying that you had a hard time understanding his English?
Yeah. It took me a while for a moment because like the uncle, he speaks British English, of course, but that is RP, received pronunciation. I don't know. It was pretty clear. Different, but pretty clear. When he started talking, and I think at some point he says where he's from, maybe Essex, but I'm not sure.
Right, I think you're right.
And it took me a moment. I had to get into it, and I missed a few words here and there, and I don't think I'll ever know them because I think they were kind of slang because he was also young and funny and, you know, all this sort of things, but it's a different kind of slang. So you see, you also have that in English we have.
Well, there's a lot of Americans that can't understand what people from places like Scotland or Ireland or even certain parts of England, what they're saying.
Now they're starting to call them languages again. It happens in Spain when they have many different languages, of course, and in Wales and Ireland, of course. While Cockney is probably more of an accent and just a few slang words that I am not that familiar with the different varieties of English in the world.
A language is completely different words.
Yeah, different words but with rules, you see. So it's like a different language. And Italian dialects have a grammar that is very similar to Italian grammar. So you have the subject, the verbs, the change for every person, so all the sort of things, but different.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed those. Well, I don't know if you enjoyed both of those shows. I'm glad you watched the shows and I appreciate your feedback. And I've heard from a few of our listeners, or actually quite a few of our listeners, who have also watched the shows and they had some very strong opinions about them as well. Now, because you have just had a surgery, and I'm going to give you a second to share with us, if you'd like to, about what just happened. We don't want to keep this segment too long today because you're having difficulty even just sitting down in a chair. I think this is, when I first got on the phone with you, you were literally having to lay on your stomach flat on your sofa. So what exactly is it that you've got going on over there, Veda? I mean, I know what you've got going, but share with our listeners.
So it's something that I've been dealing with for the past 2 years almost. It's a cyst on the tailbone. Many people have the cyst there, but nothing happens. Sometimes it gets infected. So you have an infection on your tailbone. This could have been done way earlier if it weren't for COVID. Because you see, this is not a life-threatening condition. It's annoying. I couldn't travel for the past year and a half. Just short drives, like a couple of hours, no more than that, because I would feel pain and so on. But it was nothing major, nothing dangerous. So basically with COVID, they had to stop all these kind of surgeries, the ones that were minor or not dangerous, for 2020 and 2021. And they just started this kind of surgery here in Siena, the town where I am going to the hospital to, October 2022.
I know you're in pain and it's hard for you to sit, and you're, like you said, you still got stitches and gauze and you've got a bandage that you're dealing with. So I know you're making regular trips to the hospital. So anyway, I'm really glad that you are here today. I definitely wanted you to know, and I definitely let you know that were not required to come back and join us today. In fact, Alessandro, when he heard you were having a surgery, he volunteered to step in and be and sort of do your segment as a guest in your segment for a week or two or however long you needed. But the trooper that you are, you of course are back here on our first episode of the new year. I'm so glad you're back, and we send you the best wishes for a quick recovery.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here too, but I do want to hear Alessandro again. I'm more than happy to give him my segment next week because I'm curious. I want to hear what he says.
Well, let me tell you, Alessandro's his first appearance on the podcast was very well received, and I've been trying to get him on the podcast for a long time. So I think that we're going to have another update from Alessandro, because I want to get his perspective on how he's been handling. You guys are hearing from me all the time what it's like for me to be here in Italy, but I want you guys to hear his perspective being in the United States and what it's like to sort of balance our lives right now being apart like this. So he'll be back. Don't worry.
And being an Italian abroad, that is so interesting.
Yes, you know all about that, don't you, Veda?
A little bit.
I'm really looking forward to our next segment together, Veda, because in our next segment, you're going to be talking to me about how to successfully have arguments and fights with Italians and conflict, I should say, with Italian. How do you resolve that? How do you approach that? How do you handle it? Because as I just shared in my earlier segment, at the beginning of the podcast, I was talking about the problems I had with my very elderly Italian neighbors who were not happy with me, and we were going back and forth for a few days. So it made me think, this is a real thing that happens in Italy, and if you move here and Italian is not your first language, you better know how to handle, what to expect. And so anyway, in next week's segment, I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback on all of that. That's going to be very, very interesting.
I can't wait.
Poor Veda. Veda, the longer her and I are friends, first of all, I think it's mutual, certainly on my side. Veda is probably getting her patience worn out by me. But sometimes if Alessandro is asleep in the United States, because it's the middle of the night there, but it's daytime here, and I'm like, who can I ask this question to that also speaks English? And sometimes I'll just text Veda and I'll be like, help, I just got this new washing machine. I don't know what any of these things mean. I'm trying to just trying to spin my clothes at least almost dry because they keep coming out soaking wet. So of course, Veda helped me out this past week with how do you, or maybe it was before your surgery. No, was it after your surgery?
Sure, after my surgery.
Yeah, here I am. How selfish of me. Here you are at home trying to recover from a surgery, and I'm asking you questions about how to operate my new appliances in my Italian.
It's actually great because I'm just lying in bed or on the couch all day, and there's not that much I can do without moving. So that was so fun telling you everything about centrifuga. And Santa.
Yep. Now I know a lot of terms on my washing machine that I didn't know. Everything's in Italian here, or I should say most things are in Italian here. So you better learn. My Italian has definitely been, I've been forced out of my comfort zone. It's been a month now since I've been in Italy, and it's been really, really interesting. So Vera, you've been a lifesaver in so many different ways. You're always sharing the best information about Italy with us and everything about Italian language, of course, and the culture. So we just absolutely love you. And we're so grateful you're here. You make this podcast a much more authentic and a much richer experience for everyone listening. I get messages all the time from listeners who just absolutely adore you. Many of them are now your clients and are now their Italian language coach, which of course is amazing. So don't forget, you can go to chicchelanguage.com and sign up for one of Vera's coaching packages. She's my personal language coach, and then I don't know what I would do without her. If you don't know how to spell the word chicche, you can go to imovingtoitaly.com, and there are links on my website about how to get directly to Vera's website. Vera, would you like to tell them how to spell the word chicche?
C-H-I-C-C-H-E. Chicchelanguage.com.
Chicchelanguage.com. All right. Excellent. So you can visit chicchelanguage.com, and then Vera will teach you what the word chicche means when she's your Italian language coach.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much, Vera. We really appreciate you. Please feel better, and looking forward to being back here with you next week.
Ci vediamo settimana prossima. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao. Thank you, Vera. That was wonderful. And thank you for taking the time to share with us and be here with us today. We really appreciate being with you and sharing and hearing about Italy from the perspective of a real Italian. I'm so glad to be back with Vera and back on our regular recording schedule. So anyway, that takes us to our surrounding sounds for this week's episode. Of course, I have a whole mix of sounds to share with you. I have the sound, of course, of my friends from Bologna and cooking in the kitchen with them and creating this wonderful 17,000 course Italian fish dinner for New Year's Eve, and some of our surrounding sounds related to that. I also have the sound of those neighbor ladies and them sort of yelling at Alessandro's mother and I, and then me taking them flowers afterwards to sort of make amends. So here are our surrounding sounds from this week in Italy. Enjoy, and I'll be back afterwards to say goodbye.
It's raining! Cozzi raining!
Infatti io l'avevo fatta solo per cozze quella. Per le vongole, per quello che...
Cozze, vongole e francia corta. Ci vuole un po' di vino lì, eh?
Un attimo, fanno
certo. Un po' di vino. Ok. It's okay.
Oh, Barbara, in total white and red and black, we are cooking without fare.
Alza la fiamma.
Bla 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 bla. Alza la fiamma, sì. Ok, copro. Guarda che faccio.
Bravo.
Ale. Allora.
Aspetta,
che sto facendo il video.
E tanto. Ah!
Scusa!
No, nessun problema.
Piace. Qua cosa c'è?
Questo è per te.
Posso metterlo da un'altra parte?
Sì. Certo. No, in soggiorno. Tutto bene? Sì.
Attenta che viene fuori all'Aladino, da quella lampada.
Simonetta e Ivano e Santa Barbara. Wow. Ok.
Aspetta, no, troppa acqua. Troppa. Aspetta. Sale? Grosso?
Qua?
Sale? Grosso, se c'è possibile, se no, no. Potrei assaggiare se
no, nell'acqua.
Se no. Sale è qua.
Sale è lì.
Qua.
Sale grosso non
grosso
c'è?
Grosso no. No. Solo quello. Only.
Solo questo.
Ok. Mm.
Ce n'è ancora?
Sì, poco, sì.
Metto qua,
Ok, questo è il
olio buono.
Olio, sì, da Puglia.
Da Puglia,
Però l'anno prossimo.
Scano è buono.
L'anno prossimo Gano. Io compro 6 olio di olive.
L'anno prossimo
sei.
Vieni a raccogliere le olive.
Sei
sono 30 litri, 30 litri?
Perché no?
Perché tu prendi l'olio? Ma dipende quando uno consuma.
No, per...
se uno lo vuole la famiglia. Tutto
sì, però... per il regale. Per...
Ah, vabbè, allora no. C'è finito il dottor.
Certo, sì.
Beh,
how do you,
io volevo portare un po' di olio di Simonetta. Ho detto ma ne avranno già la... cioè ho detto l'olio ce l'hanno.
No, ma io non, io a casa davvero non, adesso lui vabbè ne aveva portato qua 5 litri ma non so quanti ancora ne abbia.
Avrò
ma io
due
a casa
litri.
Lo dovrò, non so, vabbè, dai miei amici spacciatori, però dovrò prenderne qualcuno, non arrivo
la... Peppe.
Grazie.
Cucina piccola.
Sì. Cucina per due persone.
È giusto, no? Per
due cuori, una capanna.
Sì.
Il biglio in inglese.
Giusto.
Wow. Ascolta, ma i cosi li stai... Allora, noi abbiamo anche le cozze, le vongole?
Sì.
Bravo.
Ma non cucinate adesso per
ma non è solo la luce, è la luce per fare un monarca.
Okay, grazie.
Nathan, sì. There is another kitchen, so we can create.
No, lui è bravo. Lui è una bella persona.
Oh, hai visto? Posso aprirla io?
Certo. Non si fa così.
Ma posso fare come mi pare?
Va bene.
Non ci può entrare.
Questa è la direzione verso di me, guarda. Boom boom! Così pare l'occhio, guarda qua. E vai! No. Ma scusa, a me piace farlo scappare!
Va bene. Ma penso di sì, sai. Sì, evviva!
Evviva!
Questa
evviva.
È la quinta bottiglia.
Salute.
È un po' caldo, hai detto veramente te.
Wow, buonissimo.
A me piace tantissimo. Io me ne intendo poco.
Hai sono
io ho chiamato e non mi
risposto. Ha detto
che ha sentito il rumore dell'acqua di notte con la radio.
Basta che va.
Mi scusi.
In bagno.
Sì.
No, in bagno.
Sì.
E la camera da letto attaccata.
Ho capito, ho capito. Mi scusi.
Scusa.
Perdonami.
Scusate, non c'è
in futura niente.
E la chiave, non si deve lasciare.
Hai dimenticato la chiave
così. No, ho capito.
E quindi ti ha bussato per dirti anche giù, capito?
Tranquillo. Niente
okay,
di male.
Ok, grazie. Grazie, buon anno. Questo fiore,
no,
sì,
no,
sì,
no,
sì, sì, signora,
no,
sì, signora,
grazie, non serviva,
anche
serviva.
Per lei, sue sorelle.
Ah, grazie okay. Mille.
Prego,
grazie.
Prego, prego.
I hope you enjoyed those surrounding sounds as much as I enjoyed sharing them with you. And, oh man, what a... What an experience it has been. What an experience. I want to really thank those of you, personally thank you for leaving reviews on our podcast. On Apple Podcasts, we have a 5-star rating. We're the only podcast like ours. There's not a lot of podcasts like this one, but podcasts related to Italy, if you just type in the word Italy into the search bar on Apple, and our podcast is one of the first to pop up. We are the only one with a 5-star rating, and we have almost 100 ratings now. And it just takes 2 seconds to leave a 5-star rating. And so for those of you who have taken the time to not only leave a 5-star rating, but also to write a review, I just want to thank you. That just helps so much. We're getting so close to 100 reviews on Apple alone. When you add up all the reviews on all the different platforms, we're almost at 200 reviews total, but most of us are listening on Apple. And so if you are listening on Apple and you haven't yet left a review, please take the time to just leave 5 stars for the podcast. It makes such a huge difference, helps so much. And thank you to those of you who have already done that. It means so much to me and I'm so grateful. Again, I want to wish you all a very happy new year. This brings us to 2 full years of doing this podcast together. Can you believe we've been sharing this time together for 2 years? You've hopefully not only heard the podcast slowly improve as I learn a little bit more what I'm doing with this podcast, and it's been so wonderful having Vera come along, and that's improved and I think brought so much more value to our show. But also, you've heard my experiences and my fumblings and bumblings, and you've heard everything from the good, the bad, the ugly. And so anyway, we are embarking on our 3rd year of this podcast. It's incredible. We're coming up on our 5th season very soon, and it is just such I'm just still so amazed by the experience and so grateful for it. So I'm grateful for you. And I'm so glad that we get to spend this time together every week. And I look forward to being back here with you next week for a new episode. So wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice this week, I hope you are healthy and well. And I will see you back here next week. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.